Good afternoon, Michael.
One hell of an introduction.
Ooh, thank you. Thanks to my brand new producer, Sophia, who wrote that. So, chips to her. But thank you for joining us here at 2SER. We've just been chatting off air about, you know, gigs and the economy. And you said some really valuable things about what the nightlife in Sydney is like right now. And that, what I feel like it is like is almost a police state. They're relating police that is flooding the venues where alcohol is drunk. And people are sort of forgetting about the music, the arts, the things that can make a city vibrant. Would that be fair to say, you think?
Yeah, I think that the narrative's just been framed by some of the wrong things, understandably so, given the history. But the cost of what I would call overregulation that has been afflicting New South Wales, Sydney in particular, the last 4 years is being borne out in the festival scene, as you can see quite vividly now. And the impact of overregulation on what is a one-off business in some cases for festivals. The policing models and the price model just makes the thing unviable and sort of sparked a big reaction. But that same malaise or overregulation has just been impacting Sydney. And while it's been going, things have just been getting slowly and slowly and slowly worse. Yeah. And there is a venue crisis that's been well documented now, 176 venues gone, more likely to go. And a real loss of, I think, civic and cultural space. Yeah. And if you look at Sydney's theatre scene as an example, there's very few theatres compared to other cities.
Yeah.
And what we have, if you take each by case basis, they're not thriving, you know. So the effect of, I think, of overregulation has really moved into what I call the creative sector.
And I like what you've got the association, the Nighttime Industries Association, which launched not that long ago. We're talking about October. Of course, you said you've been working together with people for a time before that. But the idea of the nighttime industry and the nighttime economy is something that Sydney, I don't think, has ever really grasped, you know? We've had people like Keep Sydney Open who have gone and seen what house worked in other places around the world, particularly like Amsterdam and Europe and America, as places that have these nighttime economies. But I don't think Australia's ever really grasped that idea. Is this what you're trying to help promote and get some idea about?
Yeah, I think it's understandable, particularly for the creative sector, not to want to necessarily speak only in terms of economy. It's a... But unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your case, that's the language of government. And I think that there's just a need for industry. And what we've tried to do is really been about shaping a narrative and collecting together that the stakeholders of the nighttime economy, bringing them together and say, hey, listen, we may on a case-by-case basis not add up too much, but when you look at the nighttime ecosystem, we're the people that bring the party to Sydney, and it includes theatre, music, live performance, arts, hospitality, retail, all of it. And recently there was a report that many of your listeners would have come across, which was put out by Deloitte, which shows that Sydney's nighttime economy is underperforming to the tune of $16 billion a year.
Wow.
It is a huge... huge issue, and that is all the jobs, all the small businesses, all that lost economy is just not being helped in Sydney, New South Wales. And so what we're trying to do is to say, look, this economy matters. Let's get government focused on it, understanding it, and please, please, please put somebody in charge so they can look after it.
Would you propose something like a nighttime mayor, like someone?
Yeah, so that's sort of the policy. Our core policy ask has been that the government put a minister in charge. So it's been reflected in the shadow cabinet. So there's a shadow minister for nighttime and music now. The Liberal government at the moment has not appointed someone to look after it. And as a result, politically, it just sort of falls between the cracks. So two of the portfolios that... and I may be putting listeners to sleep, but the two portfolios that overlap a bit are liquor, gaming and racing and arts, but it doesn't capture those all the stakeholders that go towards putting on a nighttime economy. So that includes things like planning, health, police, transport, and that's the missing link. Until you can get those departments working well together, you're not going to produce the best case outcome.
And it's really interesting you mentioned that something like $16 billion of lost revenue that, you know, if the government looked at that and went, oh, wait a second, we can actually make revenue here and we can create a city and cities around New South Wales as well, that have a booming economy but also a vibrant nightlife, and it becomes more of a tourist attraction again.
Yeah, 100% correct. Yeah. And the thing is that it's just not, I just don't think it's very well understood, and there's a good reason for that. This is kind of a function of emerging consumer behavior, emerging technology. It's things like broadband penetration and global mobility that allow a mobile workforce. And so it's how a city asset can be used 24 hours a day. This really wasn't sort of thought possible up until recently. But if you start thinking along those lines, you start saying, well, actually, if we were to have a rolling start of work from 8, 9, 10, we may not need massive infrastructure projects around roads and rail because peak hour would be eliminated, right? Like, it's just a different way of looking at a problem. And if you think about, I guess, greater diversity in the workplace, women returning to work after after kids, flexible work schedules, we can work more flexibly and more cleverly.
Yeah.
And so there's all this economic theory that I just, to be really honest, I don't think has been well understood, and definitely our political infrastructure isn't currently in place to take advantage of it.
Well, I love that you're putting on a gig tomorrow night with like, it's a staggering lineup, really. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I looked at it and went, what are we talking about? Look, you tell us, talk us through some of the artists coming tomorrow night.
Yeah, look, it's been, well, it's been so rewarding anyway, you're working with some of these artists and getting them involved in the cause, and just special thanks to everybody who's playing tomorrow night. But Matt O'Kine has just been such a legend. He's been running hard at this for such a long time, and has worked hard to bring along Mel Buttle, Tom Ballard, Cameron James, and in terms of live performance, we've got Josh Pike again, who is giving up all these people giving up their time and energy to make this happen.
And a rare gig, because Josh is not doing many gigs at the
That's
moment,
right.
So
yeah.
Really good chance to see him.
So he's come on board, and we've got Gordy, Ino Leopard, and Cav Templey. He's joining us fresh off the plane from Perth tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And last added to the bill is Wallace. And all those artists, you know, what drives me around some of that is and you can see a bit of an age gradient there. And, you know, you have a conversation with someone like Josh and they'll say, well, this is my career and how it was built coming up. How are we building up? How are we creating rungs of ladders for artists to climb if we don't have venues for them to play in? So, you know, and what we're trying to do tomorrow night is drive awareness on the one hand, and it is really about that diversity of music, art, comedy. And so we're bringing together two well-understood disciplines tomorrow and just putting on a bit of a showcase for what Sydney, I guess, could be.
Yeah.
And at the same time, raising awareness, raising funds, and all the proceeds are going towards our lobbying efforts to government. There's a scorecard at our website, uniteforthenight.org.au, which goes through and rates the policies from all the major political parties on these nighttime policies. Mm-hmm. There's no persuasion as to who you should vote for. It's just a simple, this is what they're saying.
There's tick boxes. Look for the ticks. That's what you want.
and you know, and if you care about the night and you want to do something about the night, then these are what you need to think about. And then, you know, we'll take that and try and persuade our friends in Macquarie Street that there's enough people in Sydney, enough people across New South Wales who care about it.
And that's what it's about. It's about numbers, because we saw at that Don't Kill Live Music rally that was a great turnout out there.
Yeah.
And we do know that people care about this. And that's the only thing that governments care about. They care about numbers. They care about people who support a cause that they're the voters. We're voting. We're deciding who's, and the election's like, what, 2 weeks away?
It's 2 weeks away, and it's people who are organised and who can get a coherent message in, and that's the work that we're doing. Sits in alongside other stakeholders like the Australian Festivals Association, the Don't Kill Live Music team.
You're all collaborating
New South Wales.
In this?
We're working alongside each other around what is really a common vision, which says, please value this stuff and don't regulate it without having a proper discussion so you can regulate it properly. And, you know, I'm not the expert on all those matters, but we know that regulations that are made without proper consultation with industry and without necessarily getting feedback from the public can be and have proven to be wrong.
Yeah. Well, support this with your feet. Tomorrow night, unite for the night. It's at Metro Theatre. You can grab tickets online, uniteforthenight.org.au, or jump onto the Metro Theatre website as well. Jump onto the Facebook event, read up about it, get involved. Michael Rodriguez, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER.
Pleasure, Mick. Thanks for having me on.